Welcome to the Inside Out Show. I'm Devin Almonte, and together we are learning to see the world through God's eyes and doing our best to live that out in our everyday. Every Thursday here on the Inside Out podcast, we take a look at the stories that are shaping our world, the funny, the feel good, the frustrating, the faith enhancing. It's a bit of faith, culture, real life, all delivered with warmth, clarity, and a bit of humor. This is Inside Out Thursday edition. Welcome. All right, let's kick things off with today's anchor point. This is our devotional to ground us in truth and some hope before we dive into some of the news headlines today. And if you didn't know, you can get a fresh anchor point devotional right here on the Inside Out podcast every morning. Just a few minutes to start our day with some scripture, encouragement, and a little perspective to help us through the rest of our day. My son's been sick, just took him to the doctor yesterday with whatever respiratory thing is going around, start of the school year. This always seems to happen. And I just went to the store to get some medicine for him. And I noticed something that is getting harder and harder for me with every passing year. I cannot read the labels on these medicine bottles. I used to be able to do that, and they look so tiny. I'm trying to hold the bottle up close, and I'm twisting it and turning it and trying to get really far away from it no matter what I do. Like, I just keep thinking if I keep moving, I'm going to be able to see this thing. It doesn't work. And this is kind of interesting. I don't actually know a whole lot about eyes because my eyes have always been pretty good. I think just a few years ago was the first time I ever went to the doctors to have my eyes looked at. But each eye sees from a slightly different perspective, a different angle, and our brain amazingly somehow pulls those two angles, those pictures together to give us the depth that we need to see. That's pretty amazing. And without both of our eyes working in unison and working together, everything is going to look a little off. It's going to look a little bit flat. When they're doing what they're supposed to do, we get that full whole perspective. We get the distance. We get the dimension. We get the sight. We're able to see what we're trying to see. Our eyes are not the only things that see. And I know that might sound strange, but God has given us a very different kind of sight, which it's really our spiritual eyes. That's very much why I call this Inside Out. We want to be able to see with the eyes of God. It's that spiritual sight, eyes that are going to see through the noise, see through the darkness, discern truth. They notice what is underneath the surface. And what helps us see that is when we have our spiritual eyes working in full. The Holy Spirit helps us with that vision. God's word helps us with that vision. It gives us focus. So when those are working together, we don't just react to what is on the surface. We're not seeing just the flat part of life. We really start to see what's going on. And before I was Christian, you can't see that way. You cannot see. You only see in like a two-dimensional type way. That's why I think Paul says in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened, because the real clarity and the hope that maybe we are all trying to see in this life, the things that we're trying to fix, is not going to come from what we just see physically. It comes from what we see spiritually. So just like my son's medicine bottle that I was trying to see, just trying all these different ways to make the words clear, I couldn't get it. I don't want that to happen to my spiritual eyes. Now, sometimes that kind of vision will show up in those very just everyday, ordinary moments that we have. Nothing elaborate, nothing fancy. I'm sure at some point, most of us have taken an Uber or Lyft somewhere. That person driving is typically a stranger. We don't really think twice about our Uber drivers. We just say, you know, hi, take me here. Thank you. You know, appreciate it. Unless you're chatty, do you chat with your Uber driver? I mean, I feel like most rides are pretty quiet. I think you can choose in the app now whether or not you feel like talking to your Uber driver. Isn't that an option? I tend to be chatty, if that surprises anybody. But so I will talk to my Uber driver if they're willing to talk back to me. Sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they're like, oh no, I've got one of those in the car with me right now. But they can be really nice conversations. That's what happened in this story out of Victorville, California. You can find it on people.com if you want to read the whole story. Diana Morales is a part-time Uber driver. She's 27 years old. She's a mom. She's married. Two kids. And she picked up a ride one afternoon, nothing out of the ordinary, and it was just an elderly passenger, and he was headed to church. She said most of the older riders, they tend not to talk much. They don't say a lot, usually because they can't hear so well. Like, that's part of it. But not this guy. Leroy Burdick, he's 92 years old and talked the entire ride. He told her he couldn't drive anymore. His daughter's the one that kind of sets the Ubers up for him. He mentioned that he sings in the choir. I think that was why he was headed to church. His wife had passed away 20 years ago, likes to golf, like the whole deal, just all the little things that made up his life. And since we were talking about sight and vision in our anchor point, Diana, okay, the Uber driver, it was in the everyday, ordinary conversations that she noticed something, like she saw something. So she ended up giving this elderly man, Leroy, her phone number and just offered personally, said, I would love to drive you. If you need another ride somewhere, I'm happy to help. Just call me and I will pick you up. And so he did. He called her and she came by to take him to church and helped him, you know, with some of his errands. And she was doing this kind of weekly. And eventually she stopped charging him. And we could say, oh, well, that's really sweet. And it is. Here's what started to happen. Leroy, the elderly man, met Diana's husband. He met her kids. He started calling her boys his grandsons. He even bought their 8-year-old his very first set of golf clubs, got him a trainer. Now they all go golfing together. This whole thing that started with a rideshare app, the Uber app, a simple pickup, turned into what we are wired for, that real connection. And you know, it reminds me of how Jesus stopped for the one. Like when he was on this earth, walking this earth, he stopped for that person in front of him. Not because it was convenient, not because it was fitting neatly into his schedule, but because he saw them. Like Zacchaeus. Do you remember that story? It's in Luke 19. Zacchaeus was a tax collector and tax collectors were hated by everyone. And Jesus looked at him. He's in a tree and he says, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, hey, come down. I'm coming to your house today. Like I'm coming over. Jesus saw him. And then there's the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. This is John 4. Jesus goes out of his way to meet her. He sees her. And that changes everything. And so I read that story. I mean, it's People Magazine, right? It's a feel-good story. But I read that and I thought, I just see Jesus in that. Vision. Diana, the Uber driver, she had the vision to see, to slow down enough to notice, to look beyond the surface, and to see the person that was in front of her, or technically in the back, but you get the idea. And Diana, the Uber driver, is not the only one that is invited to do that. That is us. Maybe that's what we've been invited to do. All right, now we're shifting gears to our headline story of the day. Something that probably hits a little closer to home. There's a video that's going around of a homeowner, and he's standing in front of his home. It's just a modest home, and he's frustrated. Why? 15 years in his home. He's doing the right things. He's making improvements. He invested in his house, yet he doesn't think that he can afford to stay.
Bought this place for a little over $130K. It was complete dump. Since I have purchased it, I've put about $120,000 cash into it. Well, they come along and reassess it, my taxes are going to triple. It's getting to the point where I can't even afford to buy a live in a house that I bought almost 15 years ago.
How sad is that? There used to be so much pride in buying something affordable, fixing it up. But that's not the case anymore. I hate to say it, but this is the new American story. Home ownership is so incredibly difficult today. It's such a struggle not only to own a home, but it's a struggle to stay in your home. And it's not only about the cost of everything that's going up, the value of the home, you got mortgage rates, you got insurance premiums. One of the heaviest weights here is property taxes. And the way that our homes are assessed often makes that burden so much worse. According to the National Taxpayers Union Foundation, 30 to 60% of all residential properties are overassessed. Overassessed. That means that their assessed tax values are higher than what would be considered fair or accurate. Well, what does that mean? That means that homeowners, that we are paying more than our share in property taxes. The assessment is often wrong. The good news is we can appeal these tax assessments. At least there's that. But what I don't like about it, it's like if you get a bill and then they overcharge you on purpose because they hope that you don't notice, and then you've got to go and make the phone calls and try to get your money back. It's kind of like the backwards way of doing things because they know we're busy. They know we don't have time to take care of things. And that's why, even though I said 30 to 60% are overassessed, fewer than 5% of homeowners ever appeal those assessments. So they get away with it. Now, if you do take the time to appeal, like you notice that yours is too high and you decide to do something about it, most of those appeals do succeed. So that's some good news at least. But the whole thing's just a mess. And those lovely tax assessors, I mean, God bless you if you are one of them, but it's so bizarre. They just roll up to your home. They've got the clipboard in hand. I'm convinced that half of our tax assessments are determined by if it's a sunny day or cloudy day, what mood these people happen to be in that day. Now, you might be wondering, okay, let me look at my property taxes. How do I know if I'm paying too much? Well, one of the things, first of all, to look at, starter homes, modest, you know, properties, they tend to be overassessed more frequently, especially in areas with middle to lower income taxpayers. Upscale homes tend to benefit a little bit more from favorable assessments. So there's that going on. And it's not right. I mean, some of these lower value homes, especially in predominantly Black neighborhoods, are consistently overassessed by 10, 15, 20%. And then those families get stuck carrying more of the load. And like we said, we don't have time to deal with it. We don't have the money to deal with it. We don't have the know-how to deal with it. It's hard.
Some Americans claim their property tax bills are disproportionately high. And a new analysis by ABC's own television station shows that's exactly what's happening to many homeowners in majority non-white neighborhoods. The data shows a nationwide pattern of what's called highballed tax assessments.
I'm 70 years old and I'm homeless.
Bonita is one of many across the country who found herself highballed, facing disproportionately high property tax bills and ultimately losing her home at a government sale.
If the assessment system is not working the way it is, it could create tremendous distortions from homeowner to homeowner. Somebody living next door to you could be paying proportionately far more than you're paying.
Just awful. Well, some of the higher end homes or upscale neighborhoods, they might skate by a little more being under assessed or fairly assessed. I still find issues here because you get caught in a different kind of mess because say you've got your home and you have the money to invest in your home. So you go out of your way to you put on a new roof or you do a new deck or a new addition. Well, guess what? You get penalized. You end up getting taxed more because they're assessing the value of your home. Because of all those extras and more money going into that home, you end up getting taxed more. Funny story, this was in our old house. It had a like really old hot tub and it was still working. So my family and I, we were all in it before we were going to say goodbye to it. We were ripping it out. And I'm not joking. Like we were all in the hot tub and the tax assessor shows up like out of nowhere. And I guess they can just come on your property, walk around the property, do whatever. So she comes out back and comes onto our deck and we're all hanging out in the hot tub. And we see this person, you know, khaki pants, clipboard, and comes over and she says, "Hi, I'm the tax assessor." We're like, "Hello, how are you?" And she says, "I don't see this hot tub on the prior assessment." And then she click gets out her pen, starts adding it on. Okay, we are getting rid of the hot tub. This was kind of our goodbye party to the hot tub, but it's there. And so on to the assessment it goes until we actually physically got rid of it and then are reassessed once again. It drives you nuts. And things like this, by maintaining or caring for your home and you're being a good neighbor, you end up paying the price. It's like you're punished for it. That's why the guy in the clip earlier is just over it. I mean, I feel so bad for him. He can barely afford to stay in his house that he's had for 15 years. Here's another guy. This is Jeffrey John, a homeowner, talking about his struggle.
If we pay off our houses, why do we still have to keep paying property taxes? Can someone in government please explain that to me? I mean, other than getting to stay in our house that we've paid off and supposedly own, like if I didn't pay that property tax, you'd take the property. So in essence, I don't really own it.
In five cities, okay, Rochester, Syracuse, Omaha, New Orleans, Miami, at least a quarter of homeowners are spending more than half of their mortgage payment just on taxes and insurance. Not the house itself, just the extras. And it's often wrong.
The assessment was a lot more than we were expecting, more than the actual value of the house. And so we went for the normal dispute process and they turned us down. They said, no, we actually think your house is worth more. You're lucky you got what you got. So we took it to the next level. And then they said, no, we took it to the next level. I put together like a 30-slide PowerPoint presentation with photos of houses and square footage diagrams and all this kind of stuff. We found out why they had over-assessed our house, and it was because of a loophole. We said, if you don't fix this today and refund my money within 90 days, we're going to go through with the lawsuit and sue the county. And they fixed it.
No wonder homeownership feels so impossible. Everywhere we turn, there is a huge cost. Mortgage rates are high. I think we are still around 6.5%. Homeowners insurance. These are just averages. $3,300 a year. Some people have to have flood coverage. You're talking another $1,000. In certain high-risk areas, California, they've got new appliance rules. That's going to cost you another $15 in upgrades, like all of this stuff. You know what this feels like? It's like trying to walk up the down escalator. Have you ever tried to do that? You can do it. It's not easy. It feels like everything is working against you. And here we are, we're working, we're budgeting, we're trying to save, we're doing all the right things, but everything is just pushing you down the other way. Here's another side to this that also drives me bonkers. I come from the great land of New Jersey. Oh, this stuff made me so mad. We've owned two houses in New Jersey. You practically have to hire a real estate lawyer to handle your real estate transaction. Your house goes into what is called attorney review. It's meant to protect the consumer, which is us. That's good. But what I hate about it is that you can have a totally straightforward real estate contract that you can handle yourself. And they make it nearly impossible for you to do it that way. Of our two houses, I would say one, we probably would have consulted the lawyer, and the other one we would not have because we felt like we could handle it just fine. But because they complicate it so much, you're practically forced into it. You're forced to shell out another $1,500, $2,000 for a real estate attorney. I don't like that. I've always wanted to own a car wash. Don't ask. I can't explain it. I do. I want to own a car wash. I can't tell you why. But how fun would it be if the government could step in and force every car owner to get their car washed once a week? Like, that is a law. That would be awesome. That would be so fantastic. I would have a booming car wash business. I wouldn't even have to seek out customers. I would just keep it nice and reputable, efficient and running. And I'm going to get business because the government is telling people they have to wash their cars. That's what it's like. Where is the freedom in that? All right, back to assessments. We are being nickeled and dimed to death. Personally, I think property tax just needs to go away. It discourages homeownership. It punishes you when you make improvements, and it takes advantage of lower income families. How is this a good thing? And yes, I get that a lot of the property tax goes to different, depending on where you live, but a lot of it goes to our emergency services and our schools and so forth. I'm not against funding these things. We just need to find a better way to do that. Because if we are paying $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year in property taxes, then I'm expecting to see like a gold Rolls Royce fire truck coming to my neighborhood to put out the fire. Where is all of that money going? It has to be going into something, and I don't think we're seeing it. So where is it? Okay, well, we are going to take it to Scripture. Scripture reminds us of how God sees this. Proverbs 11, verse 1. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. God cares about this. And if God cares about it, then I think we should care about it because it does affect all of us. And to me, these property tax assessments often are that. They're dishonest scales. And it's hurting those that are already at a disadvantage. It's not good. Like, we don't even own our own homes, but keep paying rent. And that's why some leaders like Governor Ron DeSantis are pushing to get rid of property taxes altogether.
Pinch so many homeowners, particularly our senior citizens who have their homes paid off and they bought it 30 years ago for a certain amount. Now they're being told it's worth so much more and they have to pony up more and more money. It's almost like they have to pay rent to the government just to be able to enjoy their property. And that's wrong.
I really hope we see this happen. I don't know if we are, not just in Florida, but everywhere. I just think it's really wrong. So what can we do? Well, first, check your own assessment. Don't assume that it's right. Compare with your neighbors. Look at your neighborhood. If something seems off, file an appeal. And to be neighborly, help your neighbors that might not know how to do this. It's a lot to figure out when we are just trying to live life, which is hard enough without this added headache. There should be some websites in your county to figure out what's going on. Your county assessor, they usually have a website that explains this process. Churches sometimes, they might have a ministry, a financial stewardship type thing that might just be able to help point you in the right direction. AARP has really great resources. I'll actually drop those links in the show notes for you in case you want to read that or share that with anyone. And then as we look at all of this, as we're trying to see with the eyes of Christ in all of this, let's see the bigger picture. God is just, and he sees these unfair weights and burdens that we are under. Even in these everyday things like a tax bill, it matters who we vote for locally at the state level because all of these things are a bit intertwined. And I know these things might stress us out and make us feel totally nutty, but at the end of the day, we can remember that our hope is not in these tax codes or government fixes. Our hope is in Christ who will one day set all these things right. And until then, we just do our part. We be wise, we speak up, and we trust him to guide us even in these everyday struggles of trying to stay in our homes. And I will pray that you can do just that. That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode encouraged you, would you please take a second to like it and follow or share with somebody you think might benefit or even leave a review? I love reading your comments and just seeing your thoughts on it or reviews or what we talked about. I just love that. Your support helps more people find the show, which matters because this isn't just content. It is a labor of love. It's a mission for me, really. I do consider it an assignment from God. So I guess I am showing up for the assignment, and it is a joy and a privilege. So with that, remember to think differently, choose wisely, and let's live our lives in sight out.